Our gospel today is from the book of Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 28th verse. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his exodus, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but as they awoke, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let's begin with a prayer. Gracious God, thank you for your shining face in our lives. Remind us as we go that we are not meant to stay on our mountaintops with you, but venture back down into the valleys, to the people stuck there, to be your hands and feet, the embodiment of who you are in this world. Amen. So a few weeks ago, Pastor Matt gave a sermon, the Sermon on the Plain, maybe more widely known as the Sermon on the Mount from the book of Matthew, but Luke describes it as the Sermon on the Plain. And we're going to be going through the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, same thing, in our Lent series. But so Pastor Matt talks about Sermon on the Plain, and a point that he was making was Jesus is on the same playing field, on the same plane as the people. That this physical space that Jesus is talking about is just right with the people, where they are. And physical spaces are kind of ingrained in us, in our culture and in our society. Maybe more historically, they were very purposeful, with higher status, meaning being kind of more elevated onto higher platforms. But they're still in physical spaces, still distinguish us from one another in different places. The one I was thinking of was NFL football stadiums. You've got your boxes with like Taylor Swift and the other NFL owners.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. And then you've got like the rest of the fans, the other peasants who just like sit in the seats cramped together. We've all been there. Or airplanes with your first class, and they've got that little curtain to separate first class from economy passengers. Does a whole lot of good, that little curtain. Yeah. But puts a physical distance between the first class and the rest of the passengers. In church here, we wear white robes. Pastor Matt and I wear white robes to set us apart from the rest of you, and not in a showy way, in a way that we are recognizing ourselves as being messengers of the gospel. The purpose of our white robes is to try to embody that messenger characteristic. And then we will preach the gospel. Well, I won't, but some people will, from the pulpit to elevate the word of God. And this is practiced a lot more in Catholic churches, but if you've been to Europe and seen some of those ancient churches, and there are churches like it here in the United States, but they're not as old or cool. But in Europe, if you're looking at some of the architecture of pulpits, they are staircases above the parishioners and the congregation. In this theological way, well, practicality, just to see, so people can see the preacher, the pastor, the messenger of God's word, but theologically, so that the word of God is elevated above the people. But then we have a Jesus, a Messiah, who comes down and breaks down these hierarchies. Because they were practicing these physical distance things in the first century too. The Pharisees and the educated people would be set apart from the rest of society, preaching in temples, speaking and using their physical distance to stay away from the rest of the people. And Jesus is entering those spaces. We see it time and time again. Jesus is breaking those hierarchies. He's in the dirt with sinners sometimes. He's sitting at the well with a woman who is publicly shamed and no one else will talk to. Our WOW kids learned about that story this week on Wednesday, that Jesus goes and talks to her, knows about her, learns about her, and no one else will. She's so separated from her society, from her people, that no one else talks to her. He's in boats. This is how he picks his disciples. The fishermen who are out in boats all day, they're probably smelly, they're kind of raggedy guys, and puts this team of misfits together to be the disciples. Not the Pharisees and the teachers and the preachers and the prophets who were speaking from temples, but these fishermen and average guys. Yet, we come to Transfiguration Sunday, where we celebrate Jesus and we celebrate a God who should be speaking from the clouds. And that's what we get finally on a Transfiguration Sunday, on a mountaintop set apart from the rest of the people in the valley, stuck in the valley, that we're on this mountaintop now. God should be speaking from the heavens. The pillars of faith, Moses and Elijah, they should be supporting Jesus. They should be right there with him. And maybe we should stay on the mountaintop with Jesus as long as possible, because it would then also set us apart from all those people down in the valley. Maybe their own personal valleys. Maybe their own darkness. Maybe those wrecks who have chosen that life for themselves, waiting for some kind of hope and personal healing to their lives. But Jesus is up on a mountain, soaking up the sun, hanging out with his closest dudes. So on this transition week, we go from Epiphany to Lent. We are celebrating the light of the world, Jesus being the light. And then we enter into Lent. On Wednesday, we'll receive our ashes and remember our humanity, that we are dust and to dust we shall return. There's your spoiler alert for the sermon on Wednesday. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. We'll enter into a 40-day journey of Lent where Jesus is going to go to a cross. And so we're kind of at this middle point on Transfiguration Sunday. All of a sudden, a Messiah who was baptized, just like all these other people, by John, who is also kind of a raggedy misfit of disciples, except for that whole, you know, the heavens opened and God spoke thing, Jesus was baptized like everyone else. This Messiah goes and eats with sinners, has compassion on the poor, and heals the overlooked. And now he's on top of a mountain, away from everybody else. Light glowing, in standing in the middle of Moses and Elijah, these pillars of our faith, the law and the prophets, having this stunning God moment. But we get a word from God in here. It's a lot of Jesus talking, a lot of Jesus teaching in the New Testament, and here God shows up in this mountaintop moment to speak a word of affirmation and ordination for Jesus and Jesus' ministry. God says, "My chosen, my son." And then he seems to give a three-word sermon to Peter, James, and John, and I'm just assuming it's to Peter, James, and John, because Moses and Elijah aren't like actual bodies. That's not what it feels like. And God wouldn't be speaking about Jesus to Jesus. So to Peter, James, and John, these disciples, God says his three-word sermon of, listen to him. This is my chosen, listen to him. And here's where the theology goes deeper and more complex than all of those three words, but listen to him. not understand every word that Jesus is speaking, not interpret how Jesus's words work in your life and through your ministry, not agree fully with everything that Jesus says and how he's going to do it, but listen to him. And somewhere in this, God might be saying, listen and be transformed to be like Jesus, to be made more into God's image, to be the living and breathing body of love. And theologians make this way more complicated than maybe we want sometimes, but you've got this shiny face of Jesus, the law and the prophets on both sides of him, this transformation, transfiguration, and why would he bring those three disciples? We could go into that. Why would he choose Peter, James, and John? Were they really just the favorites? We don't know. We could go into all that. But the three-word sermon that God is going to preach is listen to him. When it's not what you expect, listen to him. When it's against your own gain and ego, listen to him. When it's scary, uncomfortable, and crazy, listen to him. When you want to put some distance between you and someone else who has maybe some demons in their life, listen to him. And then get down. I think this is what Jesus would have said right after this happens too. We got to get down. In blurring those hierarchy lines of physical distance and physical space, Jesus is teaching us that it's not so cut and dry sometimes. The mountaintops and the valleys, the enemies and the friends, we're all kind of mixed together. Experiences and relationships all in one place. So I was reading an author and a statistic that they were quoting from the 1976 election. And this report of this statistic said that less than 25% of Americans in 1976 lived in places where the presidential election was a landslide. So in other words, we lived next door to, attended school with, worshiped with, maybe worked with people who believed differently than we did. We were ideologically diverse. Okay, and then things changed. And then in 2016, 80% of U.S. counties gave either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton a landslide victory in the election. So the contrast of this in 2016, 80% of us no longer live near people who are different than us in terms of political and social beliefs. And then they went farther and they connected these statistics to loneliness statistics in the United States. So in 1980, so after that 1976 election, approximately 20% of Americans reported feelings of loneliness. Okay, already too high, right? Yeah. In 2016, or even today, I was looking up some more statistics of loneliness statistics today. It's more than doubled. In some areas, it's about 60% of Americans reporting having feelings of loneliness. So what they're drawing from this research is maybe this point that having and selecting like-minded friends and neighbors and separating ourselves as much as possible from the other ideas or people we think are different than us isn't actually fulfilling our deep sense of belonging that we are hardwired to crave. Okay, there's some statistics to think about. Anyway, back on the mountaintop, Peter has this great line. Peter's one of my favorites. He's trying so hard to get this. Last week, I told the story of, and we'll get to this in Lent, that Peter, in all of his emotions and his feelings and his defense of Jesus, chops off an ear of a soldier. Okay, so he's kind of rash sometimes, but he's really trying to get it. And he's looking at Jesus and Moses and him as a chosen disciple, as one of the favorites. And he's like, it is good for us to be here. Let's stay. Let's put up some tents and stay a while. And, okay, so we don't hear this next conversation with Jesus. It's not recorded in the gospel, but here's how I imagine Jesus responding to that. It's Peter saying, let's just stay here. I think he goes, sweet little Peter, we can't do that. We have to get down. We've got to get down because there are people in that valley who have been waiting for us all night. We've had this good and glorious and shining reunion with Moses and Elijah, and we've had this mountaintop experience, but there are people in that valley experiencing their darkest days. And here's what they do next. In the next verses, they tumble down the mountain, and they get to the valley, and Jesus goes directly to heal a man possessed with demons. That's the first thing he does after this mountaintop experience. Jesus is saying, get down from the mountain. It's good for you to be wherever Jesus is, but you don't need to stay where it's just comfortable for you. You also need to get down where Jesus is to embody this Jesus of healing and peace bringing and justice seeking and grace abounding Jesus. To those who don't get this mountaintop experience with you, get down to go be with them. Because the light and the darkness, the mountains and the valleys, the order and the chaos, otherwise known to all of us as just our humanity, everything that we experience, exists all together in this crazy life. And we are made to do it together, to blur these lines of hierarchy and physical distance, to be on a mountaintop reaching down, maybe tumbling down into the valley, to help some of those in their darkest valley. And when we find ourselves in our own darkest valleys, we know that that's not permanent. We're not there forever. And we look up to some of the people who have their own mountaintop experiences and can help us too. Jesus is faithful on the mountain and in the valley, on the plains, preaching this word of God. In the dirt and the water and the roads, Jesus transforms us into bits and sprinkles of God's image. In each earth-shattering, blinding encounter and in the depths of human experience, sinful and fearful, but filled with grace. So may you, as you go today, may your face and your life shine with God's unending love. Amen.